Welcome back, friends. So we left off with popes that were within a couple generations of St. Bridget. But let's now start tracking a little bit through the centuries. So we have Pope Paul V had Bridget's revelations, her prophecies, published in the 1600s. Now we're 300 years or so afterwards, with a commentary by the Bishop of Montefeltro, defending the orthodoxy. And we have our own John Paul II, who declared Bridget, along with Catherine of Siena and Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, or Edith Stein, as patronesses of Europe. So up until the last century, we see this constant admiration of St. Bridget. St. Alfonso de Liguori, he has meditations on the seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and he was one of the main proponents of this devotion. And this is what he will write in part. Devout souls, what say you? Is not this event, and is not this unhappy mother worthy of compassion? You already understand of whom I speak. This son, so cruelly executed, was our loving Redeemer Jesus, and his mother was the Blessed Virgin Mary, who, for the love she bore us, Sarah mentioned this episode or two ago, was willing to see him sacrificed to divine justice by the barbarity of men. This great torment, then, which Mary endured for us, a torment which was more than a thousand deaths, deserves both our compassion and our gratitude. If we can make no other return for so much love, at least let us give a few moments this day to consider the greatness of the sufferings by which Mary became the Queen of Martyrs. For the sufferings of her great martyrdom exceeded those of all the martyrs, being in the first place the longest in point of duration, and in the second place the greatest in point of intensity. The devotion to the seven sorrows of Mary is wonderful to meditate upon daily. Our Lady grants so many graces from it. And then the Catholic Church dedicates the entire month of September to Our Lady of Sorrows, and celebrates her feast on September 15th, immediately following, not preceding, but following the feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite astounding. I mean, and I think that is, and I pointed this out before, but I do think that it is one of the elements, particularly because this particular devotion is also the devotion under which the Confraternity of Christian Mothers was promulgated, right? That they have a very strong devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. And so consequently, September 15th is one of the confraternity's feast days. But I do think that specifically because this particular meditation is almost entirely from the perspective of Our Lady, it really is a devotion into which women and mothers in particular can enter into so profoundly. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a priest, you know, enters profoundly into the mystery of, you know, the stations of the cross, right? I mean, maybe that really is a very profound meditation for men or for the priesthood. But this particular meditation is, I do believe, an essential meditation for motherhood. Mm-hmm. It helps us to love Mary better. And in loving our Blessed Mother better, we can only thereby love our children better, right? I mean, because she's going to open up. I love that line. I mean, and really it's in that meditation on St. Simeon, right? Where it says, so that the thoughts, you know, your heart is going to be pierced so that the thoughts of many can be laid bare. And that would be obviously one point of meditation, right? When you're doing on this meditation on these mysteries, what does that mean? that the thoughts of many can be laid bare. And one of the beautiful things about having our confraternity be underneath these auspices of Our Lady of Sorrows is that Father Tuscan told us that it really means that Mary knows your children so well that if you come to her with concerns for your children, right, she will help you to enter into an awareness of their sufferings or their joys or whatever, right? Her heart is pierced so that that information can be shared, in a prayerful and meditative way. So to unite yourself profoundly to this particular devotion as a wife and a mother, I think is beyond all of those beautiful consolations and graces that come as a result of it, from its purely practical element, it's so good for mothers to have recourse to this particular meditation.
And I like that you mentioned practical. So we always end with a little bit of practical exhortation. It is an option to consider for your Lenten devotions. The price of our freedom was bought at a very high price. The mother standing at the foot of the cross, sorrowful, but not opposed to the will of the Father. By entering into her silence until the Lord has vindicated his elect. So she's there and she waits that great joy of Easter and then the further joy of Pentecost and then her assumption and coronation. See, with the sorrow, there was a precursor there in the temple where there was a sorrow, but it gave way to this great joy. The Lord doesn't cause us sorrow just for its own sake, but something greater can come from it. So we put forth, at the beginning of Lent, as something to consider for your practice during this sacred time. But don't let the sacred time pass you by, my friends. Take full advantage of it.
Right. I mean, and really, if you've never known of the seven sorrows, right? I mean, that profoundly beautiful image of Our Lady with her heart pierced, right? With all the seven swords that are pierced through her heart. There is that perfection of the fact that there are also 7 weeks of Lent. And, if you are not comfortable with, perhaps this particular meditation yet, then maybe you could just spend 1 week of each of the weeks of Lent discerning a little bit more about each one of these mysteries, just by way of repetition, Saint Simeon and that moment in the presentation, or their flight into Egypt, her time when she comes back and they lose our Lord, probably during the time when I don't know if it's true or not, but I always figure that was when he was getting his bar mitzvah, right, when he was becoming an adult within the church. I always felt like that's kind of probably why he thought, how could you not know where I am? I had to be doing my father's business, right? But so those mysteries, I mean, engage in that element really of our the youthful relationship, like of our young Blessed Mother, right? Profoundly become aware of her. And then, as you said, how does Mary become the Queen of Martyrs? Well, she becomes the Queen of Martyrs because from the very moment that our Lord entered into her passion, into his passion rather, Our Lady entered into hers, right? And maybe perhaps we could even say that she entered into it a little bit earlier when she told him at the wedding of Cana, when she gave what would have probably been rightful years of hers to have him in silence, when she surrendered him to a public ministry sooner than what might have come. But anyway, you can do those studies and then profoundly enter into, I think that if you really ask Our Lady to help you to come to a better understanding of these particular devotions or these mysteries or these episodes within her life, it will move you to a real desire to perhaps pray this rosary. And then there won't be any sense in your brain of a competition, right? Because that you will understand that there is a reason why one is prayed or why the other is prayed. And then you just set aside your time for Our Lady to walk with her from her perspective. And I think that as mothers, boy, I don't know, that to me is so profound.
I totally agree. All right, my friends, we wish you this start of a very prayerful and fruitful Lent. Somehow walking with Our Lady so that we can do whatever He tells us to do. Till then, my friends, fide Seracio.